The gospel reading is in Matthew chapter 2. It's on page 835 in your Bible if you want to follow along. And it is actually verses 1 through 12. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will govern my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." When they had heard the king, they went their way. And lo, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. May God bless this reading of his word.
We have heard the gospel reading in several ways today, through the song of We Three Kings, through the children's sermon, and then through this reading. I invite you to take note of the kings in this passage. Not just the three kings, but the fourth, because it is therein that a message lies for us this day. We are probably all, in a sense, relieved to be starting a new year. Is anybody glad the holidays are over? Yeah, it was fun while it lasted, but you know, now it's time to move on and slug our way through January and February and March and look forward to spring and all of that. It's kind of a shift. With this shift, with this sort of sigh of relief, comes the realization that the gift of this baby means so much more than just taking care and singing and giving gifts, but that there is a real life issue that is presented to us in this birth of Jesus Christ. And the kings, all four of them, really help to highlight what it is. I want to talk about the three kings first, and note that we have no real historical record to tell us who they were. We have educated guesses. We have all sorts of ideas and suggestions, but as to evidence of who they were, we're not sure. All we really know is that they were not Jews, but they were from a far-off land, maybe Persia. And certainly astrologers, if they were watching the star, or at least attentive to that. And we know that in that star, and in their seeing, and in their journey, we realize that God is reaching out and telling people other than the Jews that Jesus Christ is being born. Something important is happening. They might not know what it is, but when you see that star, the kings know. And being a people who are seeking and wondering and thirsting for God, they follow that star until it comes to rest above Jesus Christ. And having found what they sought, they worship and they present their gifts. And that is the last we hear of them. But it's not the last we hear of what they do. You see, the rest of the Gospels and the book of Acts and the letters of Paul tell us the story of people who are seeking God, seeking the truth, seeking answers, who are looking about themselves, wondering, thirsting, hoping, following, journeying. And when they finally come to a place and meet Jesus, they worship and they give themselves the best of what they have. That's a pattern that is repeated over and over, not just in the New Testament, but in the life of the early church and in the life of the medieval church and in the life of the Renaissance church, in the life of the Reformation church, and in the life of every church since then. In your life even, the thirst for God and the wondering if there's any answer, the journey to search and find and being found at some point by God, or finding yourself confronted with Jesus, you worship and give your best. The three kings are a pattern to treasure. Herod gives us another pattern, and we know a great deal about Herod compared to the other kings. We certainly know that he was a historical figure, know exactly who he was and how he fit into the scheme of things. We know that he was a toady of the Romans. He was a descendant of the powerful from the Maccabean era. He was something of a pretender to the throne. Wasn't really a pure-blood Jew, but Jewish enough. And he was king. And he was proud of it. And he was jealous for his prerogatives. Herod wanted to know, what's this talk about a Messiah? Is it really anything to it? And so he set up an He set up a commission to investigate. And they had a report before the king. And there was signs and evidence from that investigation that indicated that this child was the Messiah, the King of the Jews. And that scared Herod silly. It scared him. Made him afraid. Because he knew. In fact, he claimed that he was the King of the Jews. And in fact, he had made his image to fit that exactly. To him, this baby was no answer to a lifelong search for truth, for salvation, for God. For him, this baby was a threat to his authority, to his way of thinking, to his desires. And we know what Herod did. Not only did he try to get the wise men to tell him where the child was and who the child was, when the wise men obediently left without telling him, he went, if not by himself, through his orders, and had every 2-year-old or younger male boy killed in order to wipe out what God was doing. It's in the Bible, folks. Next chapter. Jesus had fled with his parents because they had been warned. And countless thousands of children were killed because a king felt threatened by what God was doing. These two images are instructive for us today because they give us patterns of response to Jesus that are still prevalent, if not in the extreme, then in attitude and motivation. And the question that we probably ought to start every day with, but we will start this year with: what pattern are you living? Are you living the pattern of the three kings, looking for God, seeking God, on a journey for God, waiting to be surprised by God? And when God surprises you with God's presence in your life, are you willing and desiring to bow down, worship, and give your all for God? Or are you following King Herod's pattern? At the first hint that God is doing something new in your life, the first hint that God might have a plan that doesn't fit yours, the first hint that something might be going on in this world that will perhaps bring your ego down a notch or two, are you out trying to stamp out what God is doing? Cutting it off. Robbing it of its life. Maybe you don't have the authority to tell people to go kill, but you do have the power to ignore and run away, dispute and get angry, feel jealous, resent God for what God is doing anew. So where are you? Where am I? Are we going to start this new year with the pattern of discipleship that is set before us by the kings? Or are we going to set the tone for the new year by trying to cut off and set aside and ignore what God is doing like Herod did? Which pattern is your pattern? Which pattern is mine? And remember, whatever your pattern is up to this moment, at least God allows you the choice to change if you don't like what you've been doing. You can do it. Just say, this year, it's the discipleship pattern, not the me pattern. Follow the three kings. Sing the song. Memorize it. Hum it. Because then you will find God, who's our King, our Lord, and Savior. Amen.